We're going to share with you how the perfect lawn became a symbol of the American dream. And of course, all that grass inspired innovations in mowing. There's a few steps to take along the way to the perfect front lawn, so I've enlisted the help of some experts to answer the question. So let's get started by asking, why do you need to mow grass in the first place?
Why you need to mow grass? Well, we need to go back a little in time. With the rise of suburbia and post-World War II America, the perfect lawn became a potent symbol of the American dream. By contrast, Europe's historical development of lawns has largely expressed values of elitism and power. Some medieval castle dwellers needed their tall grass hand-cut in order to see approaching enemies. Landowners with livestock required fields cut down to grazable heights. And wealthy people with leisure time tamed nature into neatly trimmed surfaces for sporting endeavors, like golf, tennis, and lawn bowling.
Historic context done, the first step was certainly the GI Bill and home ownership that came with it. In 1944, President Franklin Roosevelt signed the Servicemen's Readjustment Act, better known as the GI Bill, to provide educational and home loan benefits for millions of veterans returning from World War II. As home ownership rates rose from 44% in 1940 to almost 62% in 1960, owning a home became synonymous with the American dream. A manicured lawn became a physical manifestation of that dream. A fine lawn makes a frame for a dwelling, explained Abe Levitt. It is the first thing a visitor sees. And first impressions are the lasting ones.
All right, but the one person, and yes, it is one person who started it all, was Frederick Law Olmsted, father of the American lawn. Frederick Law Olmsted is best known as the landscape architect of New York's Central Park with its rolling meadows. But in 1868, he received a commission to design one of America's first planned suburban communities. Each house in the Riverside, Illinois development was set 30 feet back from the street. And unlike the homes in England, which were often separated by high walls, Richmond's yards were open and connected to give the impression of one manicured lawn, evoking the possibility that the lawn was accessible to everyone. New York Times journalist Michael Pollan wrote in 1989, "Lawns came to unify and define the American landscape. France has its formal geometric gardens, England its picturesque parks, and America this unbounded democratic river of manicured lawn along which we array our houses."
And this is where we get techie. No neat lawn without a lawnmower. So let's look at the rise of rotary power mowers. Olmsted's idyllic and boundless lawn had to be perfectly manicured. The lawn is the owner's principal contribution to the suburban landscape, the piece of the park he keeps up himself, wrote Robert Fishman, a professor of architecture and urban planning at the University of Michigan. For that job, homeowners needed mowers. In 1830, Englishman Edwin Bear Budding crafted a series of blades around a cylinder to earn the first patent for a mechanical lawnmower. 40 years later, Elwood McGuire, Richmond, Indiana machinist, became the first to design a lightweight push mower. His contraption became the official mower of the 1893 Chicago World's Fair, where men demonstrated its use on a large lawn. According to Mike Emery of Richmond's Daily Newspaper, the Palladium item, McGuire's invention helped the Indiana city become the lawnmower capital of the world. 10 Richmond companies produced 2/3 of the world's real push mowers, and the city's innovators and entrepreneurs helped transition to power reel, then power rotary mowers. In 1935, Leonard Goodall, a Warrensburg, Missouri mechanic, developed a power rotary mower, which made it easier to maintain lawns than the reel-type mowers, which could cut golf greens down to 1 inch but had blades that needed constant sharpening. Reel mowers could not cut high grass, which made it difficult for individuals to push them long enough to mow a large yard, wrote Leonard E. Goodall, the mower pioneer's son. The post-World War II suburbanization movement created a great need for a mower that could be used on large lawns. Goodall's rotary power mower responded to that need. The popular power rotary mower drove massive industry growth. According to Virginia Jenkins in The Lawn, A History of an American Obsession, power mower production increased from under 35,000 before World War II to 362,000 in 1947 to nearly 1.2 million in 1951.
But of course, all of that could be taken up yet another notch, from a nice lawn to the wish to have a perfect lawn as vivid as golf greens. In 1966, when CBS telecast the Masters Golf Tournament in color for the first time, TV viewers could see the perfectly manicured, wall-to-wall, vivid green color of the Augusta National Golf Club, whose beautiful Bermuda grass exemplified improvements in turf grass management. Virtually everywhere, golf courses exhibit magnificent turf, often through 12 months of the year, Sports Illustrated asserted in 1966, and having seen what is possible, millions of homeowners feel compelled to go and do likewise. For a culture growing obsessed with golf in the 1960s, the perfect lawn rose to become an icon of the American dream, wrote Ted Steinberg, a history professor at Case Western Reserve University and a leading scholar on the American lawn.